is Rabble Radio, recorded on Friday, January 16th, 2026. I'm your host, Brianne Doyle. Rabble.ca shares with you the news of the day through a progressive lens. If you're curious about what's happening in Canadian politics, labor, the environment, and beyond, you've come to the right place. This is news for the rest of us. Thanks for tuning in. This week, Labour reporter Gabriella Kaluge-Kasuga sits down with Kelly Botengan to discuss the recent changes by Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, or IRCC, which has paused the intake of new applications for the home care worker immigration pilots. Advocacy groups argue the pause leaves many migrant workers, predominantly women from racialized communities, in a precarious situation. If their work permits expire while waiting for a permanent residency decision, and they are unable to apply for an extension under the paused program, they risk becoming undocumented or losing their legal status in Canada. Here are Gabriella and Kelly in conversation. Take a listen.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for joining us on Rabble Radio today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Just to get started for our listeners, could you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your organization?
So my name is Kelly Botengan. I'm one of the founding members of the Caregivers Collective of Canada. It's an organization composed primarily of caregivers and former caregiver. I also came in as a living caregiver in 2006. I spent a few years organizing with caregivers and other migrant workers in the community for a few years. Then afterwards, I worked for 13 years as a settlement counselor, specifically for caregivers who are in Canada, for a nonprofit organization that's funded by IRCC. And currently, I'm a full-time student.
Just for people who maybe aren't paying attention to, you know, the issues for migrant caregivers and things like that, could you kind of give the lay of the land of what are some of the big issues that a lot of these home care workers and immigrant care workers face when they come to Canada?
Okay, so the issue stems primarily to a press release from IRCC that was sent out in December 19, 2025, where they're basically saying that they're pausing the PR pathway for caregivers. The press release is very vague, so we don't even know if they will reopen the pathway in the future. Prior to that, on the summer of 2025, we noticed on the website that IRCC also changed the description of when they will start the intake for caregivers who are outside of Canada. So previously, it was supposed to open in 2027. So that was a sign, I think, on hindsight. But we weren't really expecting the current government to close the PR pathway for caregivers. So currently, caregivers who are in Canada are here on work permits that are only valid for 1 year. So the 1 year validity of the work permit started last year. And this actually even puts the immigration status of caregivers in a more precarious situation, because now you have a work permit that's shorter than what it used to be. It used to be 2 years. And now they are faced with the prospect of having to apply for a work permit every year, basically being at the mercy of their employers, right? So you now have this pool of caregivers in Canada who has a work permit that's only valid for a year and doesn't have the ability to apply to become a permanent resident. Which also means that they don't have the ability to be reunited with their family members.
Can you expand a bit on that? How does that work exactly?
Previously, with the different iterations of the caregiver program, from the foreign domestic movement to the live-in caregiver program, and then the programs that came after that to the current one that they just paused, caregivers have the ability to bring their family. When they become a permanent resident, they could come to Canada. With the current changes to the immigration program. There's been a lot of changes to the various immigration programs across the board. And now they've even limited the ability of caregivers, for example, to bring their families here while they're on a work permit. They no longer have that option. And so when they had the option of applying for permanent residence, it means that when the caregiver become a permanent resident of Canada, their family member, meaning their spouse and their children, are able to come to Canada as permanent residents, and then they reunite with the caregivers. And now the caregivers who are here working as caregivers on a work permit, they don't have that ability anymore. So Canada is one of, or is the primary destination for a lot of caregivers from the south of the globe, because Canada is the only, one of the very few, or if not the only country where caregivers have the opportunity to become permanent resident and eventually citizens of Canada, and then be able to bring their family here. So now that option is off the table. We're not sure if they will reopen the program in the future. We're not very optimistic about that, given the current situation that's going on in the country right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely very concerning. And you talked about, the personal impacts of this program being paused. I'm curious also, from a workers' rights perspective, a migrant rights perspective, what does not being able to apply for PR mean for these workers, these home care workers, who have to go from visa to visa every year?
So not being able to apply for permanent residence actually means that the caregivers, they are already vulnerable. They're one of the most vulnerable members of our society in Canada. Not having the ability to apply for permanent residence makes them even more precarious, right? Because then they would be at the mercy of their employers. Caregivers, I've had clients before that, and this is the time where they even had the ability to apply for permanent residence, right? That they stayed in abusive employment situations because they felt that they had no other choice. Like they felt that this is the only option for them to become a permanent resident. So now, if you have a caregiver who has a work permit that's only valid for a year, it doubles that precarity, right? Because now every 6 months, there's this document that's called labor market impact assessment, so that caregiver employers have to apply for. Caregivers will, I hear a lot of stories. I talk to a lot of caregivers who are basically accepting whatever employment situation they are in, whatever conditions their employers impose on them, because they want the employer to apply for a labor market impact assessment. I have recently, actually yesterday, spoken to a caregiver who just had her work permit expire, and she's frantically searching for an employer who is willing to submit a labor market impact assessment. She has 90 days to restore her status. So she's on this ticking time bomb, right? Like she has a high probability of losing her status if she can't find an employer within the time limit that she's given. And her situation actually puts her in that perfect storm where if she meets an abusive employer, then she's stuck.
Putting these workers into precarious status situations, what impact will that have on the care that's available to people who need it here in Canada? There is a health human resource crisis going on in Canada, and the population is aging. So yeah, what is the impact on care, on healthcare here?
So there would be less qualified caregivers that would be available to provide supports for our aging population and also to provide childcare. Because let's admit it, even the Canada childcare program that we have, it's not enough, right? Like we still lack spaces. So families who can afford to hire care workers or caregiver, they hire caregiver to help them with childcare needs. And now You basically can't hire a caregiver from outside Canada right now. Even for caregivers that are taking care of seniors, you cannot hire anybody from outside Canada. You can hire people that are in Canada, but that pool is shrinking because the government have limited the ability of employers to be able to hire caregivers from outside Canada for a few years now. So the quality of care would get worse. If we look at the trajectory of our community, a lot of caregivers, after they become permanent residents, they either become personal support workers, taking care of people with high medical needs, or are seniors, right? Most of the caregivers that I know, they either go that way, or some caregivers who have nursing backgrounds, they eventually become nurses. So there's this cycle of caregivers becoming PSWs or healthcare workers, and now you're closing that. I can only imagine in the near future, I already hear from a lot of employers that they're having a hard time looking for caregivers. I also have employers who are very concerned about the status of their caregivers because obviously they want their caregivers to become permanent resident, but now they're being forced into a situation where they have to pay $1,000 processing fee every 6 months for them to obtain a labor market impact assessment so their employee can apply for a work permit, right? So there's also a burden being shifted to the good employers because there are good employers out there. But now they have to scramble. And apparently, based on some conversations I've had with some caregiver employers, even to obtain a labor market impact assessment right now, the process is a little bit more onerous than it used to be. There's some officers that are making it harder for them to obtain a labor market impact assessment. So it seems to me that there's this scenario being created by these current policies where they make it easier for caregivers to lose their status. And every caregiver, every other migrant worker that I talk to, they want to stay in status. Like they try their best to remain in status. They try their best not to let their work permit expire. But there are certain situations and policies like this that makes it almost impossible for them to be able to stay in status, maintain their status, and become permanent resident. So we're creating an eventual pool of undocumented people who are going to be vulnerable workers who are taking care of our elderly, of our young children, right? And they don't have the option to become a permanent resident. This is a little bit disappointing for an advocate like me, who also came through the Living Caregiver Program, because women historically have been coming to Canada as caregivers. Even before Canada became a country, a lot of white women from Europe, when they came and work as caregivers for the rich families, they become their permanent residents when they arrive in Canada. When the government in 1960s, I think, had this Caribbean domestic worker program where they had agreements with specific Caribbean countries to send caregivers to Canada, they took the ability of the Caribbean caregivers to become permanent resident. And it took years, decades of community organizing where a lot of the care workers that came. Sorry, this is a very emotional topic for me. A lot of the care workers that came in the 60s, 70s, and 80s organized the community, fought for their rights, whatever options that caregiver used to have to become permanent resident and be reunited with their family are the result of organizing work done by previous migrant care workers, right? And the government just like all of a sudden just turned around and took that very limited opportunity for caregivers to become permanent residents because during the Harper era, they've limited the number of PR slots for caregivers. So they only allotted like around 5,500 PR spots for caregivers since 2015. And they're letting in like more than 5,000 caregivers a year, obviously, because of the need. And caregivers have to fight They have to qualify themselves to become permanent resident. They had this promise that if you come to Canada to work as a care worker, caregiver, eventually you will become a permanent resident and be reunited with your family. A lot of the current caregivers right now who are here, who have been here for more than 5 years, who couldn't get into a PR spot, all of a sudden don't have any option to become a permanent resident.
And thank you so much for sharing, even as this topic gets emotional, because this is something that's important to talk about. Like you mentioned, there's been decades of organizing to secure these pathways for people, and they're now kind of being taken away. I'm curious then, what's next, especially from a community organizing perspective? There is a history of fighting for migrant care workers, and clearly this is showing that it's the time to continue that organizing. So what can people do? What can people listening who care, who support migrant caregivers, what can people do to get involved?
For people that have the ability, I would encourage you to write to your member of parliament. I think this decision is a decision that hasn't been really been discussed publicly. They just closed it. I'm not aware of any public consultations regarding closing the PR pathways for caregivers. So if you have the ability, please advocate for caregivers who are in Canada. There's a lot of second, third generation Canadian citizens right now whose mothers and grandmothers came through the different iterations of the domestic movement, the caregiver programs. Like, if you have the privilege to be a voice for the migrant caregivers right now, please do that. We are also organizing a forum for caregivers on January 24th. It's a hybrid, so it's some people who can attend in person, they're more than welcome to come. And I still don't have the address for the venue, but we do have a registration that's out. So we have a forum for caregivers on January 24th. We did have like our initial forum on December 26th, and we're in the process of organizing the community. But if people have ability in their own way to advocate, we would appreciate that. Even sharing the issue would be great. It seems like a lot of people are not aware of what's going on right now, and it's quite understandable because of our current issues, right? Like, there's an affordability crisis going on. So a lot of us are concerned about our own needs, so we don't pay much attention to what's going on around us. That's quite understandable. But if you're listening, I mean, even sharing that caregivers don't have an option to become a permanent resident right now, that would help the topic stay on air, stay in front of people's awareness, and that would also be helpful.
That's exciting to hear that you're organizing these town halls and these forums and such. You mentioned that you held one in December. Can you tell me a bit about how people are feeling right now that came to these forums? What's going on, like, in the community? You've shared some of your feelings. I'm curious, like, kind of what the collective feelings of caregivers is right now.
So there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of anxiety, especially around what's eventually going to happen to their immigration status, right? Because there's only so much you can do, right? Like, there's this fear that they would be sent back home. There's this fear that they have to keep staying with the same employer, that they won't be able to be reunited with their families. I guess the biggest, one of the biggest emotions that I could describe is that disappointment. Like, a lot of the caregivers in our community were preparing for their PR application because they were anticipating that the program will open again in March. So it opens every year, every March. So a lot of them are in the process of preparing for their PR application, right? Some of them have already spent the money completing their English tests, doing their English reviews, doing their credential assessment. They are preparing all the requirements. Then all of a sudden, you just see this press release that the program is on pause.
Yeah, I totally understand how that could be. so disappointing, especially with all the work that goes into applying for permanent residency. So what is it, you mentioned people can reach out, talk to their MP, all of these things. What is it that we could be calling for? What do you want to see from the government? What kind of policies would better protect, care workers, migrant care workers?
The first one would be for the government to reopen the program that's on pause. Like, that's the minimum, right? Like, that's the minimum that they can do. Another would be to extend the validity of work permits to 2 years instead of the current 1 year. It used to be 2 years. The third one, which would help a lot of the caregivers who are still waiting for their PR. So we also have like a group of caregivers who have applied for care for their PR, but are still waiting. The third demand, if you want to call it that, would be for the government to issue open work permits for caregivers. So a few years ago, they would issue an open work permit to a caregiver 3 months after they've submitted their PR application. And this helped a lot of caregivers who are in abusive employment relationships with their employers leave that situation and go find a better employer. Now, what's been in practice for a few years now is they issue the open work permit a few weeks before the caregiver receives their permanent residence. So that would be one of the least that they could do. But the first is reopen the PR pathway for caregivers and bring back the 2 year validity for work permits for caregivers.
Kelly, thank you so much for shedding light on this topic for us on Rebel Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Rabble labor reporter Gabriella Kaluge-Kasuga and Kelly Botengan in conversation. Thanks so much for that, Gabby and Kelly. And now, this is our In Case You Missed It segment, where we review the top stories from this week on Rabble.ca. Here to bring us up to date is Rabble editor Nick Seabrook. Take it away, Nick.
Thanks, Brianne. Starting this week with provincial news. After 7 years in power, Quebec Premier François Legault announced he would be resigning as Premier and leader of his CAQ party. This comes as the CAQ has fallen steeply in the polls, and with a provincial election just around the corner. Legault's departure increases the likelihood that the separatist Parti Québécois will be able to form a majority government at the next election. Parti Québécois leader Paul St-Pierre Plamondon has promised another referendum on separation from Canada within his first term if elected to form government. This comes at a time when the province of Alberta seems to be on the verge of a referendum on separatism of its own. While support for separatism is polling low in each province, it does come at a time where the U.S. continues to make threats to Canadian sovereignty and could open an opportunity for U.S. President Donald Trump to try and divide Canadians. In world news, protests continue in Iran. For weeks now, Iranians have been taking to the streets to protest the high cost of living in the country. Those protests have turned violent, with reports of Iranian security forces firing on and killing protesters. There is also the threat that countries like the U.S. may choose this moment to intervene in Iran. Iranian Arash Azizi, an author and Yale University professor, said, quote, "There are basic things that the vast majority of Iranians have in common. They want the territorial integrity of Iran to be preserved. They want democracy. They want women's equality, unlike what we have under the Iranian regime. They want a prioritizing of their own economic development. We want a normal life." End quote. Also this week, a former Ottawa police officer says that he faced discrimination while a member of the Ottawa Police Service. Farouk Khattab says that while training for the Ottawa Police, he became the target of discrimination and humiliation from his instructors and was fired 10 months after joining the force for what he said were biased performance reviews. Khattab is not the only one who claims to have experienced discrimination while working for the Ottawa Police Service. A survey done by the Ethnocultural Religious Diversity Employee Resource Group showed that 1 in 4 racialized officers at the Ottawa Police Service reported experiencing some form of harassment or discrimination. The Ottawa Police Service, in a statement to Rabble, said that it investigated Kitab's claims and found them to be baseless, and that it took all reports of discrimination seriously. In health news, Alberta's emergency room doctors say that their departments are reaching a breaking point. A bad flu season has overstretched an already stretched system. Wait times have skyrocketed, with some waiting as long as 72 hours to see a doctor at one Edmonton-area emergency room this week. Tragically, these wait times have led to at least 3 deaths over the past 2 weeks. Alberta is one province that has heavily pursued healthcare privatization, leading to a lack of proper funding for public services like emergency rooms. A group of Edmonton doctors this week called for a state of emergency over the situation in Alberta's hospitals. And finally, in agricultural news, groups like the National Farmers Union are calling on the federal government to protect a farmer's right to keep the seeds that they plant. Many different varieties of seeds are patented by their creators, who are usually large multinational corporations. This means that farmers who want to plant these seeds have to pay a fee to do so, aren't allowed to keep any of the seeds they don't use, and cannot plant seeds they collect at harvest time without paying another fee. The federal government, however, is seeking to change the law, giving more protection to the companies who own the royalty rights on these seeds, something that the National Farmers Union warns will take money from farmers and give it to big corporations and will also undermine food security. And as always, you can read the full version of all the stories we talked about today on Rabble.ca.
Thanks, Nick. And that's it for Rabble Radio this week. Thanks as always for tuning in. If you like the show, please consider subscribing to Rabble Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate, review, share Rabble Radio with your friends. It takes 2 seconds to support independent media like Rabble. If you have feedback for the show, ideas, stories, opinions you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear about it. Get in touch with us anytime at editor@rabble.ca. Thank you to all the journalists and writers who contributed to this week's content on rabble.ca, and thank you to Carl Nirenberg for supplying the music. Lastly, thank you to you for tuning in to Rabble Radio. I'm Brianne Doyle, and I'll talk to you next week.